Would you pray with me? Holy God, by your Spirit, break down the barriers that keep us from hearing your voice this day. Free us from that which is holding us back from following Jesus. Enlighten this reading of your word that we might be changed by it. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. Hear God's word to you. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week, several of us on staff, Sarah and Sean and Christy and I, attended a community gathering hosted by First Pres Deerfield. It was on creating a culture of nonviolence. A little shout out to that group. You can come hear more about it Wednesday evening if you like, and the details are on page 10 in your bulletin. Some of you attended a similar gathering at Gorton the next evening, and that one was on politics and gun legislation. The violence in our culture is on our minds, and hardly a day goes by when we are not reminded of it. I arrived at this gathering in Deerfield thinking about gun violence, but the speakers quickly expanded my focus. The violence in our culture manifests itself in multiple ways. Certainly guns on the streets, but also domestic violence in the homes of our neighbors. Sexual violence that gained voice in the Me Too movement. Ethnic cleansing and bullying, some of the many examples of the violence we perpetrate on one another. One of the speakers tied all these together in a way that I believe informs our response as Christians. He said that the commonality of violence in our culture, regardless of where the violence is or how it's acted out, the common thread is disconnected people, a sense of disconnection. Honestly, I couldn't help but think of our Connect theme this year. The stakes sure are higher when you think of Connect in this context. Thinking about connection as saving lives puts it in the intended context of this spiritual practice, I believe. Much more than social engagement, Connect in a Christian way is life-giving. Violence rooted in disconnection. It makes sense, really, doesn't it? perpetrators of mass shootings are often described as loners and outliers. Violent gangs are attracted to kids who are seeking a sense of belonging. Victims of domestic violence become disconnected from their sources of strength and support because our domestic lives are so disconnected from each other. And we know that even entire cultures are disconnected from one another, leading to misunderstanding and a fear of those different from us. Since Lent, we here have been exploring how the teachings of Jesus inform our practice of connecting with our neighbor. And last Sunday, in the story of the Good Samaritan, which was acted out before our eyes, many of us humbly recognized ourselves in all the people who passed by the wounded neighbor. And then on those slips of paper, we each ask God to remove that which keeps us from extending compassion to the other. We are too busy. We don't know our neighbor's needs. We are afraid. We're not sure how to help. I haven't read those, but I'm guessing these are some of the things we wrote on those slips of paper. All familiar obstacles that further disconnect us from our neighbors and from growing more like Jesus. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is having a meal with the Pharisees. And I should mention, given our common excuse of being too busy, Jesus did heal a sick man on the way to the party, even though it probably made him late. Pharisees, where he was going and gathering, they are the well-to-do in their day, the leaders well-respected for their knowledge and influence, and considered the center of social circles. Jesus could have been attending any North Shore gathering, I'd say. He's been there observing the social practices around him, and he's noticed that relatives and friends are invited over for meals. And then those same guests, friends and family, are expected to reciprocate, to return the invitation. And during this gathering, he's also noticing that when these guests accept the invitation, they assume the good seats are for them because they're the guests. And this is how the community practiced hospitality in that day, not unlike today. But Jesus' hospitality looks completely different. When you throw a party like this, he says, invite those whom you would never imagine inviting. Even invite those you're afraid to invite. Furthermore, Jesus says, invite those who could not possibly return the invitation. And by doing so, he adds, you will be blessed. We recognize this is not an isolated teaching of Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, he commands us to notice and include those who are on the margins, the disconnected, and meet their needs. In fact, he says, when you provide for them, you provide for Jesus himself. Professor Christine Pohl, who wrote Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition, she describes hospitality as a lens through which we can read and understand much of the gospel. And in fact, this gospel hospitality became one of the distinguishing characteristics of Christians in the ancient world. Not only because it reflected the life and teaching of Jesus, but because it was so contrary to the culture of the day. And it was a core practice of Jesus' followers. Hospitality today, though, has evolved into entertainment, an entertainment of friends and family instead of the stranger and sojourner, like it was in biblical times. Hospitality's become an industry. It's a college major, even. It made Martha Stewart famous and wealthy. We can't discount the importance of gathering with friends and family. That's a foundational part of connection and community. But we can't ignore that the hospitality that Jesus teaches reaches beyond friends and family to the overlooked. It's an embodied presence with the neighbor and stranger in need, modeled after the life of Christ. Recovering and reclaiming that hospitality ensures that everyone has a place at the table, and wow, that feels of greater importance now than ever before. Now, in a time when the stakes are high, when lack of connection can breed all sorts of dysfunction, including violence. One fifth grade teacher feels that importance as well. Every Friday since the Columbine school shootings, she has her students give her confidentially a list of who they would like to sit with the following week. She also asks them to name one student who was an exceptional citizen this week. Her primary purpose is not to create a seating chart or a special award. She does this to look for patterns. Who's overlooked? Who's disconnected from the other students? Who's left out? She knows too well that violence begins with disconnection. And so she goes outside of her routine and her very busy day to see the students who are being overlooked by others. Do we see? Do we take time to notice the overlooked? Because much of our hospitality is limited to the circle of people we already know, or our conversations are limited to superficial knowing, it is not the transformative hospitality that Jesus describes here. It does not offer the opportunity to create connections with those suffering from the disconnection, those different from us, the silently suffering, the outcast. But gosh, recovering and reclaiming the good news hospitality that Jesus calls us to is costly too. It means we're going to have to be intentional about seeking the overlooked. It means we might end up serving those whom we might otherwise describe as undeserving or inappropriate or ungrateful. It might mean some awkward conversation as we get to know one another. And you know what else? All this effort may have no apparent benefit to us, no immediate payback. Rather, we would be inviting and including not because of what we'll get in return, but out of the realization that we all need God's grace, and we are all vulnerable and in need of connection. Gospel hospitality requires significant vulnerability. I wonder if some of you wrote, "I'm afraid," on your prayer note, as the reason you don't show compassion to the stranger. I could add that. Certainly some of the people in the Good Samaritan story who passed by the injured man, some of them were indifferent and some thought they were too busy, but some no doubt were legitimately scared. They could easily have contracted a contagious and serious disease in that time that would have killed them. They could have been rejected by society, which would mean a loss of livelihood then. Fear is a reasonable consideration given the state of our world, but it's not the only consideration. Father Daniel Homer, a Benedictine monk for over 40 years, writes, "The state of the world is not the biggest obstacle to Christian hospitality. It's the state of our hearts and minds." Our hearts and minds. Are our hearts open to what God might do in relationship with the other? Do our minds calculate the payoff in this world currency rather than kingdom currency, the blessings of God? Jesus said to do this and you will be blessed. Gospel hospitality, when we open our hearts and very lives to welcoming and accepting the other as Jesus welcomes and accepts each of us, we are then blessed, and it's mysterious and it's transformative. This hospitality shown to us by Jesus is not a social grace, but a spiritual practice, shaping us into the people God created us to be, into the image of God. And our challenge now is to practice it. To practice this week and to keep on practicing. And when we do, we might just be blessed with a glimpse of the kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our eyes to see those around us who are overlooked, disconnected, and in need. By your Spirit, give us the compassion of Christ that motivates us to reach out and be present for that person. Help us to see your face in that neighbor and to offer the same love you have for us. By your Spirit, transform us both. Amen.